Yachting Monthly, December 08. I spent a windy, chilly autumn week barreling around the Western Channel on the Jubilee Sailing Trust's fine bark Tenacious, a Tony Castro design in beautiful wood, which, despite its successful remit of using able-bodied and disabled crews together, frankly sails like a large and spirited dinghy. As YM regulars may know, I am prone to these bouts of unfaithfulness to the cruising yacht community. Show me a couple of yardarms and a great big thumping pinrail and I'm anybody's. And I do like the social whirl of being in a crew of 50. Even the washing up duty takes on a sort of epic quality. Doing pans and dishes for three people on a yacht is always a bore, but it's oddly exciting to spend 2 hours at the sink thumping round at a 30-degree angle while several dozen soup plates come at you like asteroid showers. And also, of course, you know that your turn won't come round again for another week on a big ship. Anyway, I had to get home to the day job from a foreign harbour, as so often before, and we weren't allowed into Jersey in case we broke the pontoon and St. Marlowe wasn't ready yet. So a host of old memories stirred as I climbed from a rib and yomped across the Ile de Breja's sandy roads with my rucksack, searching for the ferry. At low water it goes from about a mile round the coast. Don't forget that next time somebody heaves you ashore on Breja. More nostalgia returned as I stood on the mainland at last and hurriedly researched the various ways of getting to Dinar Airport without hitching, risking taxi bankruptcy, or taking a curious rail detour via Dinar. They were happy memories, for of all the ancillary pleasures I've had from yachting over 37 years, one of the great ones has been that sense of confused, stranded, otherworldly freedom you get when you jump ship. Sometimes it's unexpected and planned and quite dull. We'll drop you in St. Marlowe, just by the ferry port on Sunday. More often, it is subject to weather and caprice and your skipper taking unexpected shelter, and then it involves far more interesting journeys. In my youth, I was once dumped at Deauville after a channel race because all the other guys had another 3 days off and planned a tight programme of drinking and slurring a voulez-vous to passing nymphets. I, on the other hand, had a Monday 7 a.m. shift at the BBC. So I made it to Le Havre, got a night ferry by the skin of my teeth, and ended up on the milk train to Oxford, jammed between two huge, hopelessly hungover squaddies who slept on my shoulders way past their station. More recently, I left the tall ships at Ålesund and planned a crazy journey by bus across several fjords to an airport so bafflingly small that only Ryanair seems to fit it. But the bus didn't come, and only the insistence of nearby Norwegian citizens on hiring a minibus taxi saved me. Two ferries, and 3 hours later, I was panicking about paying my share of the taxi, but the lordly Vikings waved away my money. "This is the fault of the bus company. They shall pay." How different from our own dear transport system. After that, the plane didn't turn up for hours either, so I slept on the airport floor. Much as this autumn, I dozed 3 hours away on Dinar Airport while the UK air traffic computer rebooted itself. So many gruelling return trips, so many windward struggles with foreign timetables and compostage des billets. I think fondly now of the sleepless staggerings across rattling car decks with a sail bag, the worries about bus seats from Santiago to Bilbao, the confusions as to whether one is still in fact on an island or whether the causeway takes cars. Few yachts and ships carry guidebooks and road maps, but once you go alone down that gangway into the real Greece or France or Ireland or Norway, the carefully charted rocks and harbour lights are of no use to you anymore. Even close to home, confusion can set in when one yacht anchored in Studland Bay under the firm pre-GPS conviction that it was in fact Swanage, the departing crew found it distressingly awkward to find a taxi to the last train from Poole owing to the intervening Solent. And these journeys home alone are all the more romantically poignant because as you face the myriad complications of life on land after the clean open sea, you're constantly aware that in the snug, self-contained little world you have left, your fellows are bobbing at anchor with the cabin lamp lit and charts laid out for the morning. They carry on in that lovely alternative universe where a few hours ago you too belonged.